From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Pacifica Radio, the oldest public radio network in the nation, is on the brink of complete financial disaster. Now, you may have heard this before. After all, the network that I work for teeters on the edge of insolvency almost as a matter of course. But this time it's for real. The crisis originates from a $1.8 million unpaid debt from the New York-based Pacifica station WBAI to Empire State Realty Trust, ESRT. This originates from transmitter rental fees that went unpaid. ESRT sued and won, and now may seize Pacifica's assets to cover its debt, including the four other stations in the network, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, KPFA in Berkeley, and my home station of KPFK in Los Angeles. Against the advice of Interim Executive Director Bill Crozier, the Pacifica National Board of Directors voted against filing for bankruptcy, instead holding out hope that the network may be able to secure a loan to pay off ESRT. Joining me to explain all of this is Bill Crozier himself, Interim Executive Director of the Pacifica Radio Network. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Great to be with you, Sonali.
So let's first answer the question that is probably on the minds of many Pacifica listeners concerned about what's happening, which is why did WBAI not pay its bill to ESRT for its transmitter rental fees? Why did it end up in nearly $2 million of debt?
Well, that's a good question. The tower lease is for the antenna. The transmitters that are located there also is on the top of the Empire State Building in New York City. It's the probably the best location in New York, but it's also the most expensive. And the tower lease ran out in 2005, and it was renewed in 2005 for another 15 years. It goes until 2020. And this was after 9/11. All the antennas on top of the World Trade Center were destroyed. And, you know, we feel it was the lease was somewhat unfair. They charged a lot to begin with, and the annual increases are approximately 9%. So even if it was somewhat reasonable back then, and it was a lot, it's really unsustainable now. And so we're being charged about $60,000 a month. It goes up every year, and we just can't afford it. And the station was keeping up with the payments mostly for until a few years ago, and they weren't able to do that anymore. And so they sued us for about $1.8 million, as you were saying, plus attorney's fees and other legal fees. And that's where we're stuck now. And we got a judgment. They got a judgment against us. The judge read his order in November. And so we're trying to figure out how to pay for that.
So there was a judgment, obviously, and this shouldn't come as any surprise. You have an unpaid debt, and the corporation that is owed money to sues for that debt. And one, there was some hope that people were holding out that Pacifica's side would prevail, but it didn't. And so now we have a situation where you have this, you know, big corporation. ESRT is a corporation. And they want to make good on what is owed to them, except the WBAI, which is a station from which the debt originates, is part of a network. And the network has many assets, including my station, KPFK, KPFA, KPFT in Houston, and WPFW in Washington, D.C. What do you fear? What's the worst that you fear could happen?
Well, the worst that could happen is they could come move in and seize assets. They filed their judgment in every state where we have operations, including California. Now, there's a 30-day waiting period in California, but that 30-day waiting period's over on January 8th. So they could, at least theoretically, start moving in and seizing bank accounts. They could have already been doing that at the other stations, and they have not yet. So I want to caution people that doesn't mean they're about to jump in and grab our bank accounts, but legally they could. And so that's the risk. That's the worst that could happen.
So jumping in and grabbing bank accounts means that staff don't get paid, and you know that other things go unpaid. One of the things that is brought up often is that Pacifica Radio's five major stations have very lucrative spots on the FM dial, spots that a new nonprofit public radio station would not be able to afford to acquire today. But because we're the oldest radio network in the country, we have, you know, essentially been grandfathered in. We obtained those licenses decades ago. So WBAI's signal, its spot on the FM dial, is worth, we think, many, many, many times what is owed to ESRT, and many have suggested that moving WBAI to a different spot on the dial may help pay off the debt and then some.
Right. Well, that is one of the options that we're looking at. It's called a signal swap or frequency swap, where we would exchange licenses with another station. And if the other station had fewer people in its coverage area, then they would pay essentially additional amount to get a better spot, or WBAI is, for example, now, or it could be a different station. And that is one of the things we're considering. We hired a broker. There's brokers that specialize in this sort of thing. And we hired one a couple of months ago to look for possible frequency swaps. And, you know, all of the ones they found are they involve an amount of pain. There's no pain-free way out of this, because we need several million dollars. We have additional debt also. This Empire State judgment is just part of what we owe. It's the most immediate thing, because they took us to court over it. But we really have to get at the root of the problem, which is how to get our finances restructured so that we can pay all of our bills. But this is the most immediate thing. That's true.
And so a signal swap is not something that could help immediately stave off the ESRT being able to seize assets?
Well, it's not immediate, because it would take probably a year, maybe more, for it to be finalized. It has to go through and get FCC approval. The membership of Pacifica would have to vote on it. That wouldn't take necessarily that long, but the FCC approval might. And anybody who doesn't like it could challenge it. That could delay the FCC approval some more. So we need money sooner for the judgment. And that's one of the reasons why people aren't bored of proposing a loan in the interim, until it could be paid off with a frequency swap or something else.
They haven't made a decision yet on
how it would be paid off, though. But they are looking right now at getting loans.
But, of course, Pacifica does not have very good credit for some of the reasons
right.
we've already been discussing. So any loan acquirement would come with excessive interest rates, right? All of which would be paid off by more fundraising on our airwaves.
Well, we're looking actually two different loans. We had a special board meeting on Tuesday. And the board agreed to pursue two loans, and a short-term one, basically from some friends of the station who would put up money and provide them hopefully enough to entice Empire State Realty Trust to say, okay, we'll sign a written agreement to not seize assets. That's the purpose of this loan. We don't know if they'll do that, but that's the hope. And then work on a longer-term loan, a bigger loan that would pay off all of the judgment and maybe some of our other obligations. And that might take at least a couple of months, possibly longer, to get. So that's what the board's decided to pursue for now.
And some of the
and also mm-hmm. the loan would be no interest payments for some period of time. But of course, we'd eventually have to pay the interest and the principal of the loan.
And some of the assets of the station, of the network, are the actual buildings that the stations operate out of, the studios. For example, KPFK in Los Angeles, my home station, has a studio that it owns the building off in a very, a good part of, we were in Studio City in North Hollywood. And there's been talk of mortgaging those buildings to pay off these loans as well. Where does that stand? Because, of course, mortgages also have to be paid back over time, adding to the station's monthly expenses.
Well, that's right. And these loans are essentially mortgages. They would be using the buildings as collateral because, as you're saying, our credit is bad. We have a lot of debt and we don't have enough cash flow to pay our current expenses. If we did, we wouldn't have this debt owed to Empire State Realty Trust. So this initial loan would use the KPFK building, KPFK and Pacific Radio Archives share a building. They would use that as collateral for the loan. And then the other loan, the longer term loan, the bigger loan, would use possibly all the buildings. It depends a little bit on how much collateral they need. Depends on the lender's requirements, and we don't have the details on that yet.
Well, I cannot, of course, be objective about the idea of my station's building being mortgaged off. And so this is something that I know that my fellow staff members at KPFK and Pacifica Archives are deeply concerned about. But isn't there also an issue of the stations themselves having to take up the burden of something, the four other stations in the network having to take up the burden of something generated by one station in the network.
Well, that's true, except that, you know, WBI has actually helped out some of the other stations in the past. And this tower lease was basically imposed on them. It was never approved by their local management or their local station board. It was approved by a former interim executive director, somebody like me, a number of years ago, who probably felt he didn't have a choice. This was after 9/11. It's a couple of years after 9/11, but they wanted to keep their spot on the Empire State Building, and there weren't too many other options then. We're stronger as a network to help each other out, but it is a problem that they haven't been able to pay anything actually on the tower lease for several months. And I think clearly some changes are needed to get the revenue up and to change the way some of the things operate in New York and maybe some of our other stations too. We've all of our stations have lost listeners, but especially in the New York station. And that hurts revenue an awful lot because we depend on our listeners for almost all of our donations,
Bill,
all of our revenue.
What about the option of filing for bankruptcy, which is one way in which Pacifica might be able to control its assets and restructure its debt? I understand that the board voted against that option and voted instead to pursue a loan. I'm sure there's a million opinions on these questions, but what is your opinion on that issue?
Well, my opinion is that we should have filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Chapter 11 is designed to stop collection efforts like this and prevent them from seizing assets and give us time, basically, to come up with a financial restructuring plan. We'd have to develop a plan within about 4 months, but then we could have several years in order to pay off the debt. We'd have to pay off all the debts. Again, this is only one of our debts, but it is the most immediate one. And our CFO, Chief Financial Officer, and I, all of the officers, agreed and recommended that we file Chapter 11 bankruptcy because, frankly, that's what our attorneys were recommending. And I'm a great believer in following the experts. And if our legal experts and our CFO are saying we should do this, I think that's plenty of reasons in order to protect our assets and make sure we can continue operating. I must say, though, what you mentioned earlier, if they did move to seize assets, it doesn't mean we stop operating and shut down. We'd file Chapter 11 immediately then, of course, in that case, to keep them from doing anything else. But it would obviously be inconvenient, to say the least. And bankruptcy itself does have some expenses also, which we'd have to pay. But I still think that it's the best thing to do. But the board has decided to try to use these loans to get a forbearance agreement and then to pay off the rest of the judgment. And then later we'll figure out how to pay off the loans.
Bill, I want to frame what we are discussing within two broad issues. One is the drop-off in listenership at our stations, and the other is the problems of governance at our network, both of which are in some ways related to the situation we find ourselves in today. Pacifica Network has these five lucrative stations, and the top five metropolitan areas of the nation. Our signals are in the really lucrative spot on the dial. The signal areas are huge. KPFK, my home station, has the largest FM signal west of the Mississippi. We have 112,000 watt signal, and yet our listenership hovers near the bottom of radio stations in the LA area, and that is true to an extent for all five stations, perhaps with the exception of KPFA, which might be the healthiest station in the network, both financially and with regard to listenership. Why is that? What is your analysis of why public radio, the oldest public radio network, has so few listeners?
Well, all the public radio stations have been having troubles. More people are listening online. I think we need to promote online listening more. All of our stations have web stream what we have live, and they also have archives so that you can listen to anything you want, this show or any other show, whenever you'd like to. And we don't promote that enough. So we need to get more listeners, clearly. Part of it means we need good programming. We need more programs like yours, and we have other lots of good programs too. But some of the shows clearly are not doing what they should. If we don't have shows that people listen to and don't want support, then they probably need to be replaced with something else. There's lots of other potential shows we could have on, including from other stations, as well as locally produced ones. So I think one thing we have to make sure about is we have good programming and more good programming. We already have good programming, but we need additional programs that are good for other slots in the time slots that are not doing as well. And we need to promote them more, and we need to take advantage of social media better and other things that other ways of low cost ways of getting more listeners. I think we need shows that appeal to younger audiences more. That's the future, and younger listeners are not listening to radio too much at all these days. We need to be reaching out to them as well, and that applies to every station.
Aren't we also trapped in an endless cycle of fundraising that necessarily alienates listeners, which then leads to less funds being raised, which leads to the need for more fundraising? That seems to be a perpetual complaint from listeners.
Yes,
and it's
a very reasonable complaint. Right. And, you know, sometimes fund drives shows can be interesting, but when your favorite show is preempted and you're not interested in what's on in its place, that's not so good. You do lose listeners. And WBAI has had that problem in a really big way. They're looking at something like 140 days of fund drives next year, maybe more than that. And it drives a lot of listeners off, especially if the shows are completely different. KPFK also has a lot of fund drive days, not quite that many. Some of their fund drive shows are interesting also in their own. And of course, the regular shows, the ideal thing is let use the regular shows just in a little bit different way with encouraging people to support the show. That's probably the best way to go, but sometimes it doesn't bring in enough money. And frankly, the other problem you hinted at is some of our governance. We have most nonprofits have boards that really help a lot with fundraising. We have some really dedicated board members who do that, but not nearly enough. A lot of them don't help at all with fundraising. They don't help with outreach, and that applies at every station. And that's a serious problem, because if we had board members who were helping with the fund drives and helping reach major donors, we might be able to actually decrease the amount of fund drives days while increasing the revenue. And I think we do have to figure out how can we make some changes in our governance.
There's a tremendous amount of infighting and people who are sort of reasonably interested in keeping Pacifica healthy and alive, who might show up to our board meetings, are often turned off by the vicious attacks that members lob against each other. I mean, it's just really sad. And in many ways, what happens within Pacifica is a reflection of the broader left. You know, a lot of infighting, a lot of demands for meeting unreasonably high standards of purity, and we end up cutting off our nose to spite our face.
Right, and that's the part of the problem. We need to focus on the bigger things, which is producing good radio and making sure people know about it. I mean, it's part of our mission to provide information to people that they can't get anywhere else. And I feel Pacifica is needed so much more than ever. I mean, with this crazy guy in the White House and no telling what's be coming out of Congress this year, we need Pacifica there, and we need people listening to it. And so many people don't even know about the programming we have. And our board members should be helping with that. All of the board members should, every one of them. And many of them are not. And, I mean, it's sad to say, if you listen to any of our national board meetings, they're web-streamed. The open sessions are web-streamed. We're meeting almost every Thursday, sometimes more than that. And you can listen if you go to kpftx.org. That's where all of our shows are archived. All of our meetings are audio archived. You can listen later, or you can listen to them live. And it's pretty embarrassing, frankly, to listen to some of the national board meetings.
In other words, don't listen, please.
Well, yeah, but we frequently almost always take an hour or more to go through the just agenda approval. Mm-hmm. And then we get over fights over the minutes, little details. People bring up all kinds of points of order and things that frequently don't even have anything to do with what is currently being discussed, or what motions being discussed. And so it takes forever to get through meetings. We have these 3 to 5 hour meetings almost every week, sometimes more than once a week, and we can't even get halfway through the agenda a lot of times. And this is not the way to solve problems. This is not the way to get our finances back on track. And as you're right, there's too much blaming and finding little things to complain about rather than you're doing problem solving.
Well, and of course, finally, let's end with the idea that what's at stake is a national treasure. Pacifica Radio Network is a national treasure. It is highly underrated. It should be a household name, and it isn't. And it offers a completely different model of broadcasting than most broadcasting today, which is non-commercial corporate-free, listener-sponsored broadcasting, and that is something so valuable that we really hope that Pacifica will emerge out of this crisis, both, of course, from a personal perspective, I say this, but also a political perspective, that that America needs Pacifica. So I wish you luck, Bill. I know it's not an easy position to be in, and let's hope that the next time you and I talk, we have some better news to discuss. Thanks so much.
I hope so. And I am hopeful that the loan process will work, but we still have to figure out how we're going to pay off the loan too. But thank you so much.
There you have it, folks. In case you were wondering what the Wall Street Journal article was referring to that just covered Pacifica's financial crisis, that is a little bit of a nutshell description of it. My guest has been Bill Crozier. He's the interim executive director of the Pacifica Radio Network. We've been discussing Pacifica's financial crisis. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.